because we're all together. I know some of you may have come in today and somebody was in your seat, but there's a bunch right up here. So you can always come early next week and snag your spot. But I think the sense of community and the sense of energy is higher when we're all together. And I only have to preach once, so there's that. In a little over a week, I am going on a long trip. My husband Elvis and I are celebrating our 30th anniversary this summer. And we are taking a long-planned trip to Europe and the Mediterranean. It will include a cruise and land travel. We'll be gone 3.5 weeks. It will not surprise any of you who know me even a little bit that I am a planner. I have been planning this trip for almost a year, and I have lists, many lists. Lists of things to do beforehand, lists of things to pack, lists of things to do while we're there. I pre-bought tour tickets so I don't have to wait in long lines. I know what shoes I will wear on the formal nights on the cruise, and I know where I will sleep every night. I downloaded apps for mobile tickets, but I printed them just in case. I've tried to think through various contingencies and then tried to make accommodations for them. And while I pack relatively light, I'm still bringing more than one change of clothes and a day pack. I try to imagine myself in the gospel story today about sending out the 72, or 70, depending on your translation. The Greek is a little unclear there. But I'm going to go with 70. I think that's the more accurate translation. So we're in Luke 10, starting at the first verse. Jesus tells the 70 to travel light. Don't take extra clothes with you. No extra sandals, no wallet, no change of clothes. Don't be distracted along the way. Be single-minded on your mission. Can you imagine taking a journey like that? Put on something comfortable, bring nothing with you, leave your wallet at home, walk to another city, and proclaim the gospel. Hopefully, somebody there will house you and feed you, but you won't always find a friendly reception. Sometimes people will turn away, and you may find yourself with slammed doors and sleeping on the ground with your stomach growling. We don't know anything about these 70 people. They were unnamed disciples, and the number 70, as well as 72, depending on whether you're looking at Hebrew or Greek, should remind us of the table of nations in 70 nations, or 72, in Genesis 10. Well, the 70 went to places in Israel, or perhaps Samaria. The mission of going two by two and relying on others is a look forward also to Acts, to the nations where the people of God went out. 70 is both a number which represents the nations, therefore, as well as a number that represents the people of God. There were 70 who went to Egypt with Jacob. There were 70 elders who represented the Hebrew people in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. If 70 represents the people of God, then going out on mission is for all of us who are people of God. It's not just for a select few. So what kind of mission are we called to do? Many of us are going to think of far-off missions. Somebody like the Millers in Honduras or the Pelegis in Israel. Perhaps we think of a church ministry or local ministries like working with the homeless or those suffering with addiction at City Rescue or immigrants with World Relief or to those dealing with domestic violence at Hubbard House. All of those are missions that Redeemer supports. Get involved. We are called to support and work in areas like this. But I think that this passage is really more talking about asking us to be open to going to anyone, anywhere, at any time, because he is sending us. Let's take a look at what Jesus calls the 70 and hence us as people of God to do. He calls them to heal the sick and declare the kingdom of God is near. There may be danger, it will be hard, you have to be single-minded. He doesn't give specifics on method or even the message beyond declaring the kingdom of God is near. They are just to go ahead of him, go ahead to places Jesus will visit, rely on those open to hearing him for hospitality and support. It doesn't appear there are maps or detailed plans provided. It's nothing like my overplanned trip. Minister to the needs you see while sharing the good news of the kingdom of God and through whom it comes. And while healing and exorcisms are mentioned, they probably weren't the only ways the disciples ministered. So these 70 people must have been really trusted by Jesus. They were in close community with him. They had heard him at some point, and they followed him, either in his company or perhaps in their own towns. Luke 10:1 says in Greek, they are sent before his face, which is an idiom that is the same as when Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem at the end of chapter 9. Does anybody know what English word we get from the Greek word for sent or sent ones? It's apostle, that's right. The Greek word is apostello, and the English is apostle. Apostle means sent one. We are all apostles in that sense. So Jesus' first introduction to these unnamed disciples is to ask for more workers, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It was true then, and it's true now. The fastest growing religious category in the United States right now is none. None. The harvest is plentiful for those of us who are willing to be sent. But going out on mission can be hard and it can be dangerous. Jesus warns them that they will be like lambs in the midst of wolves. Being at the center of God's will may be good, but it is likely not safe. My favorite part of the Narnia series is when Mr. and Mr. Beaver are telling Susan and Lucy about Aslan, who represents Christ in the story. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, skipping a bit. Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king. Christ is going to take you to the end of yourself. He's going to ask you to go places far outside your comfort zone. You will not necessarily get rich. You will not necessarily be respected or admired. You may suffer because of the call on your life. He will push you from the safety of the sheepfold and send you among wolves. But remember, he is sending you, and you have his power and his shalom, his peace. So imagine yourself one of these 70 people. They were just ordinary people. They were likely men and women, young and old, who knew Jesus. They left their homes and jobs for at least weeks, if not months. Imagine that. You aren't one of the 12 apostles. You haven't been to seminary. Your job skills have certainly not included preaching. But Jesus invites you anyway to go. And you need to travel light. Don't bring extra clothes or shoes. Don't bring money. Be focused only on the mission. It might be dangerous. He doesn't tell them what to say or do and where to go exactly. He just says, go. Go ahead of me and prepare a way. Would you go? We don't know if he asked others first who said no, or he asked just these 70 people he knew would step up and go out. But I imagine he probably called people who chose not to go and were thus not part of the success. And certainly some of those 70 were reluctant. It's a scary proposition. But Scripture is full of reluctant people that God calls to do his work. Moses, Gideon, Jonah. So we're in good company when we feel reluctant. Jesus didn't tell them they'll all be successful. There would be people who won't listen and people who will reject the message. You need to expect that. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. Don't get discouraged with your disappointments or failures. Don't let them derail you. Don't keep looking backward at the things that don't go well. Don't replay failures over and over again in your mind. Now, we know the story ends with joy and stories of the ministry successes, healings, exorcisms. But they didn't know that going in. It's often only in looking back that we see we were in God's will the whole time. In the midst of hard times, it's sometimes hard to see the joy that happens because we are faithful. Because we are called to be faithful without knowing how it ends. I'm going to be ordained next month. I want you to put this on your calendar. It's Saturday, August 24th at 11 a.m. here at Redeemer. You're all invited, and I really want to see a full church. Write that down. Put your pen out. August 24th at 11. I'm excited about it, but this was not an easy or a fast journey. I started seminary in 2006. I've had disappointments, failures, obstacles along the way. I've been discouraged. I've looked back at failure a lot of the time. The lessons of Luke 10 are hard to learn, or at least they have been for me. And I'm still learning. Things are still can be hard. I was just laid off from the ministry job I've done for many years, and I don't know what is ahead. But the Lord has sent me on this journey, and he's been faithful thus far on what has been a winding path, sometimes with hairpin turns and lots of obstacles, roadblocks. I'm relatively peaceful and trust that if Jesus is sending me, then there's mission and ministry to be done because the harvest is plentiful out there. But you don't have to be called to ordained ministry, though, to be sent. I want you to hear this clearly. Every person who follows the Lord is called to mission. Some may be called to go somewhere exotic, or you might be called to ordain ministry. But most of us are called to be on mission as we just go through our lives, wherever we are. It won't necessarily be easy or safe, but who is God sending you to? There will be times of discouragement and feelings of rejection. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You are the workers he's praying for. We are all workers. The harvest is out there. Perhaps it is as near as your children. For many of us, at a certain point in our lives, our mission field is filled with Legos and playdates. Perhaps it's at your place of work or your school. Whose lives are you touching? Remember, you might be rejected, you might not. There is joy in ministry. Are you living a questionable life? I talked about that a few weeks ago. Who is asking you questions about your faith? They are part of your mission field. Perhaps your mission field is your neighborhood. If you don't know the people on your street or the people in your building, commit to getting to know them. Perhaps God is calling you to participate in one of the ministries here at church. There's a harvest field in children and youth ministry, for example. Perhaps it's one of the ministries Redeemer supports. Or perhaps there's another ministry outside of Redeemer that God has called you in particular to do. The possibilities of where God will send you on mission are endless. So you have to pray about it. The ministry and message we are sent to give is the ministry and message of Jesus. Take care of people. Love them. Meet the needs in front of you. Take care of the sick. Some you may heal, but even if you don't, you're to care for them. Take care of the poor. Don't shy away from the mentally ill or those who are plagued by the enemy. The kingdom of God has come near. It's at hand, and it is within you. The kingdom of God is wherever God reigns on earth as it is in heaven. Think about that when we pray that later. The kingdom of God is wherever God reigns on earth as it is in heaven. One other thing not to miss about this passage, we never go alone. We need others for our journey, for encouragement, accountability, safety. God never calls just one person to do something all by themselves. These people were not only going out in pairs, but they were part of a community of people following Jesus. They were praying for one another and supporting one another in various ways. Some people had to stay behind and do the extra work to keep businesses and homes afloat for those who were called on mission. Even if you are called to do something specific to you, there should be a team behind you and around you. You need support for the long journey. And sometimes the people or people the Lord pairs you with may not even be people you know, or they might be somebody you don't particularly like. Ministry will bring you together, though. So don't be afraid to venture out with somebody new. The end of this passage tells us about the 70 coming back from mission, and they were joyful about their ministry success. We know they didn't have nothing but success or acceptance, but in the end, it was the successes that were important to them. Jesus rejoices with them, but he also reminds them that no ministry success, no amount of people you bring to faith, no amount of miraculous healing, no amount of overcoming evil is as important as your relationship with him. Because being a follower, having your name written in heaven, is the most important thing. So I ask you today, is your name written in heaven? Are you a follower? If not, why not? The Lord of all creation wants to be in relationship with us. The kingdom of God is near, and it's not only in heaven, it's right here with us, and it is awesome. Come and join us. If you are a follower whose name is written in heaven, pray about where God is sending you on mission. It may be as close as your home, or your classroom, or your next-door neighbor. It might be far away. But wherever it is, it won't always be safe, comfortable, or easy. But it will be where God leads you, and that is a very good place to be. Take heart. The kingdom of God is within you. So go. Please pray with me. Lord, may each person hear your voice today. Show us who you are so our names may be written in heaven. And show us where you are sending us on mission. Help us to follow you wherever you lead. And I pray in the name of the Lord of the harvest, Messiah, Jesus, come quickly. Amen.